Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. My name is Thomas Majors, and I'm joined by
David Haynes.
Peach, poke, you owe me a Coke.
Quit pinching and poking on me. Thomas, how you doing, man?
Man, it's been good. It's been a while.
It has. It's been a while. We've not recorded now in several minutes, and we just got back from lunch, so we have had a really good time. And, dude, I've got some words for you.
All right. I got words for you, too.
Whoa, here we go.
Boy, have I got a word for you.
Panama City Beach.
Orlando, Florida.
Washington, D.C.
Washington State.
Dallas, Texas.
Redwood Forest. Oh,
the Grand Canyon.
The Least Canyon. the Wachita Mountains.
Niagara Falls.
Ruby Falls.
Ooh. Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, what's that place called in Utah? The Joshua Tree Park.
You know, Thomas, I just don't know if I can top that one. Do you think our listeners have figured out what we're doing?
Probably not.
Should we tell them?
We should. Yeah, we should tell them.
So what are we doing?
We're talking about vacation places. Those are vacation destinations.
Absolutely. Those are. And we're not just talking about vacation destinations. We're going to talk about specifically pastors and vacations.
That's right. I think I need a vacation.
Thomas, you just got off a vacation.
I need a vacation from a vacation.
Hang on. We're pastors. We only work like 3 hours a week, right? Isn't our life a permanent vacation?
But we have to deal with church members during those 3 hours. So,
oh, the burdens we bear. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, honestly, vacations are part of everyone's life. However, for a pastor, it's different. It's not exactly like a regular vacation.
Let me ask you this. Over the churches that you have served, what was the average length of time that you got for vacation time in a year?
Yeah. So in a year, I would get the average 2 weeks vacation. The previous church I served in Fulton, Mississippi for 8.5 years, I got 3 weeks vacation there. And I greatly enjoyed that. But everywhere else, it has been two.
Okay. I think everywhere for me, it has been two as well, except for Ingomar now, and Ingomar is 3 weeks vacation for me.
Yeah. So, man, it's really nice. What most people don't understand is whenever we are working, like we work, if we get 2 weeks off a year or three, we're either working 49 or 50 Sundays a year. Like you'd be hard pressed to find anybody works more Sundays than us. Some people will say, well, medical professionals will work every Sunday, not more than us. Well, farmers got to make hay when the sun's shining. They don't work more than us on Sundays.
Right.
We work really every Sunday. And when we talk about Sunday work, we ain't talking about just showing up for the preaching hour. I'm curious. We don't discuss this before. How early do you arrive at church? How much time do you give yourself between arrival and first service?
Okay. I get to church at 7 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And our Sunday school begins at 9 o'clock.
Okay. That's 2 hours early. And so I get to church around 7:12. That's when I want to pull up in my parking spot at 7:12. Sometimes I'm earlier than that. And then our first service begins at 8:30. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you're at least an hour and 15 minutes.
That's right.
And I'm 2 hours. And a pastor's work isn't only on Sunday.
No.
Really, we work all times of the year and all times of the week. And it's really, being a pastor is what you do, but it is who you are as well. So people call us at all times of the day and sometimes at night. And if you go to Walmart in your hometown, then you're going to see church members there and you're going to talk to them about whatever problem that they've had. You're going to pray with them maybe in the parking lot or in the aisle or something like that. I mean, so anywhere you go at any point of the day, you're still a pastor.
You are. Hey, Thomas, I got a funny story about Walmart. So some months back, I was in a Walmart And there is a friend of mine who is kind of famous. He's kind of famous in our little part of the world. He's kind of famous. I rounded a corner in Walmart. This was on a weekday. This was probably early afternoon. And whenever I saw him, he looked at me and he said, "What are you doing in here?" And I said, "Man, I had to stop by and get a few things." And I said, "What are you doing in here?" He said, "Well, same thing. I had to stop by and get a few things." He said, "I'm surprised to see you in here." I said, "Why are you surprised?" He said, "I didn't figure you would ever come to this Walmart in this town, Senatobia, because of people stopping you and wanting to talk to you." And he then, and now he's got more fame than I do. He said, "I never stop here. I always do my shopping in Hernando, South Haven, Memphis, wherever." He said, "I don't shop in Senatobia," he said, "because I can't get in and out of here in less than 2 hours. It takes so much time." And so, yes, now I enjoy the aspect of seeing people and talking with people. Dude, I completely get it.
But there's no running in and running out, because one conversation, 5 minute conversation, turns into 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then the next person wants to talk for 10 to 15 minutes and you're there. For a long time.
That is right. At First Baptist, whenever we have a repeated guest, maybe a family comes a couple times, we will take them out to eat. And it's often after a Sunday morning service. And there is a restaurant in Senatobia that everyone loves. And we cannot go there with guests. Like, if somebody has been visiting our church, we want to talk with them. We want us to be kind of uninterrupted. We want to be able to talk about theological matters. We want to be able to talk about salvation matters, church membership things. And there's a certain restaurant that the last time we tried that with some guests who were visiting our church, I bet we were interrupted 12 times, 14 times, because half of our church goes to that restaurant. And my wife and I, when we left, we said, "We can't do that anymore," because this family, they did not have our undivided attention. We had to have so many side conversations. So it's interesting, not just vacations, but even our daily lives, going to Walmart, going to whatever restaurant. But in particular, vacations are odd. So Thomas, why are vacations odd in the life of
I think they're odd in that we don't take many vacations. Okay, so I think vacations are odd with us because we know that our work is serious. We're doing very important things. We're telling people about the gospel. We're ministering to people. We're praying for people. We're walking through difficult things with people in the community. So in a sense, we recognize the gravity of what we're doing, and it's hard to get away from that. Well, if I go, Miss So-and-so is in the hospital. What if she passes away and I'm not able to come back? So-and-so is about to have a baby, and it's going to be a troublesome pregnancy and delivery. I need to make sure that I'm here. And so really in our lives, we don't prioritize taking vacations. Now you have, You have prioritized taking vacations in your ministry. And it's one of the things that I highly regard about you. And I tell people about, I'm like, David's going to take his vacation. And I need to learn how to do that, because we don't necessarily always do.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've never had a vacation interrupted because of a death or any illness, anything like that. One time we were at a Southern Baptist convention and had to hurriedly come back, but still it was not a time of vacation afterwards or anything like that, because of someone's death. But yeah, so I've always taken vacations. Years ago, someone told me I needed to take care of my family. I always take a vacation with my wife and daughter whenever our daughter was living at home. And so it was always something that I tried to prioritize, and God has always blessed that. I'm so very thankful for it. But I understand sometimes things come up. Let me tell you one great benefit of having good staff. If you have a good staff, and if you have trustworthy staff, if you have people who can preach funerals and people who can fill the pulpit and people who can handle themselves, that church knows they can function without you. Like our executive pastor, Alan Winstead at First Baptist, he's been there over 20 years. Our children's minister has been there over 17 years. Our office administrator has been there over 20 years. Dude, that church functions better in my absence. And if I'm gone, there are able-bodied people. Even our youth minister, who's been at First Baptist about a year at the time of this recording, he is an able-bodied preacher. And I'm not needed. I'm not the only person. But if there's a smaller church where that pastor is the only staff member or the only preach your own staff, I completely get it. Why you would feel the pressure to preach a funeral, you know, whenever you would need to come back sooner instead of waiting until later.
So I think we would both say that a pastor needs to prioritize taking vacation.
Yes, he needs to. He needs to. And whenever I'm on vacation, it gives some freeing. It gives some freeing, some mind freedom where you're not, hey, Wednesday's always coming, Sunday's always coming. But when you're on vacation, well, you've got a little bit of a delay. And I think that you should prioritize vacation, because if you're ever out on a Sunday, you can go to another church and you can listen to another brother preach. That one aspect of being a pastor that is difficult is you don't hear preaching live and in person. Now, of course, you can YouTube pastor friends or churches that you trust, but when do we have time to do that? How often do we do that? Not very much, you know, but we can go and hear preaching and see how other people do church.
I mean, I can watch preaching, and I've read sermons before, but it's kind of one of those things. You can read about a fire and you can watch a fire on TV, but you can't feel the heat.
Oh yeah.
Unless you're in person, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so I think that's true when it comes to like preaching and hearing someone preach. You can see somebody on the television, but you really can't feel the passion like you can in the room with someone. And so to hear someone preach in person, I think is always better than watching it on TV or to read it like in a book or something like that. So preachers need to hear preaching.
We do.
And a vacation gives them the opportunity to do so. Opportunity.
Thomas, I have two questions that I really want to ask you. The first question is, can a pastor take a staycation?
I don't think so.
Why's that?
Because we mentioned it already. People who are in business, they can take a staycation. You know what a staycation is, right? You decide, I'm going to take a week off and I'm going to stay at home. And I'm going to work in my yard, and I'm going to do some things around the house that needs to be done. And I'm going to hop over to the Dairy Cream and pick up a milkshake when I want to. And people, when they see them, hey, have you seen that email, that spreadsheet? They say, nah, I'm on vacation. I've got all of that set to the side. They'll be like, okay, yeah, no problem. But if we have a staycation, and if we go to Walmart, or if we go to the Dairy Cream, we're not necessarily going to say, hey, we don't care about Granny. What's happening in Granny's life right now? I'm on vacation.
Talk
to the associate pastor. call the church and let them know about that. I don't care right now because it's my vacation. So because of being a pastor is who you are and what you do, right? And if we see church members somewhere, then automatically we get in that ministering mindset, caring mindset, wanting to pray with that person, wanting to hear their issues, wanting to bear some of those burdens that other people in other professions don't necessarily have to deal with. And so I think we can't do it because we're going to see people out and it automatically draws us back in. But sometimes there's some events that happen in a person's life that you just got to be there for, right? And if you're within the community and in the county,
yeah,
you really have no excuse for not being there. Can you think of one?
Some of the ones that you have mentioned, I think are obvious. In a situation of an unexpected death, you really need to be there. And a pastor who is enjoying a staycation will need to drop everything that he can and spend, hey, it might only be 30 minutes or 45 minutes, but he needs to spend that time with the family.
Yeah, because I mean, just put ourselves in the place of a family member. Here, my parent dies and I try to call Brother David up, and Brother David says he can't do the funeral because he's on vacation, but he's at his house. I'm upset automatically. But if I call up the church and I'm like, hey, I need to talk to Brother David. My parent just died. And they say, well, he's in Walt Disney World with his family on vacation.
Yep.
Automatically, I'm going to say, oh, yeah. Okay, good.
A little bit of distance goes a long way in a scenario like that.
Exactly. Because in one sense, well, he's just right down the road.
I mean,
what is he really doing?
Yeah.
And the other is, oh, he's gone with his family. And there's the idea of distance and disengaging that I think that it lends to the argument that, hey, I can't participate. I can't be there.
Yeah. You know, Thomas, pre-COVID, I think, there was a church. It was a large church in Georgia that your pastor's church team had reached out to me. And I had done at least one Zoom call, possibly even two Zoom calls. And I knew the church was not the church for me. So we met with the search team by Zoom, and then we met with the search team and their interim pastor by Zoom. So I think it was two Zoom calls. But I was asking about their former pastor. You want to learn about the former pastor when you go to a church? And I said, tell me about your former pastor. And he had had a fruitful multi-year ministry, and he retired. And they said, oh, he is beloved. He called every church member on their birthday, called every one of them. Someone then spoke up and said, a number of years ago, he was even on vacation in Europe, but he called me and had a 10-minute conversation with me on my birthday. And I thought, that is not the church for me, because I'm not going to do that. There is no chance of me doing that. Not a single chance of me doing that. And if that's what you hold as a beloved pastor, not faithfully preaching the word of the Lord, I'm out. And as soon as we ended that Zoom call, I then got in touch with the chairman and said, oh, it was such an honor. But I feel the Lord leading us in a different direction.
We definitely feel like the Lord is not leading us to you, to
right.
that church,
That's
to you right. and that church. The Lord has closed that door, slammed it in yeah. my face because of your former pastor.
All right, Thomas, here's the next question I wanted to ask you. Is there ever a time when a pastor should not take a vacation? Like, he should not take a vacation, or he should cancel his vacation?
I honestly think there is.
Okay. Do tell.
We typically know if we're in trouble with the church or not.
Yep.
I mean, and just being a pastor, and I've never talked to another pastor about this ever, so we got this on air. I'm going to say this. I kind of know when the congregation is upset with me. Do you?
100%.
Even if they don't say anything, just by the way they interact with me, by
their body language and preaching.
And their body language, all of those things. Yep. I know when the church is upset with me. If I knew that the church was upset with me and that it was something legitimate or illegitimate, it doesn't necessarily matter, but it could lead to it getting worse, mm-hmm. I probably would stay. Because when you go away, there's a little bit more freedom for that congregation to have some meetings.
Yeah.
To say, well, I mean, he didn't go. Susie was dying of cancer. He didn't go visit her, but he went on vacation.
Yep. Yeah. I can think of two ministers that I know who went on a vacation at very, very inopportune times. And basically, when those times of resting were over, their ministry was done.
They were gone.
They were gone. The wheels had already been set in motion, but their absence, even for a little bit, allowed those wheels to turn so much faster, and they were done. Yep.
Yeah. I think, and again, maybe somebody else who's been in that situation, if they had a microphone pulled up here and we could ask them, they would say, well, go on the vacation, because whether you go or not, they've already decided to get rid of you.
Sure. And a person in that situation might even say, hey, I needed that mental break because I knew what was coming. So I needed to gather my family, have one good last vacation, because in 3 months we're going to be without a job. That may be the case too.
I didn't go on a vacation one time.
That's right. And I remember it. I remember it. And this, let me tell my side, and then you can tell your side. My wife and I were on a Smoky Mountain vacation. We love the Smoky Mountains. We were in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and I looked over and I saw your wife and children. And I'm like, there's the Major's family. And we pulled up in there. And I'm like, where in the world's Thomas? And they're like, Thomas is not here. I think you'd already told me you were going to be foregoing that vacation, but I saw your family on a vacation without you.
One of the major regrets of my life in ministry is not going on that vacation.
Yeah. So why did you not go on that vacation?
I was pastoring a church. I knew that they were upset with me. I had planned the vacation months and months ahead. in the process of that, the Lord called me to another church, and I went to that church, and the 2-week notice that I was given fell right during that vacation that was planned. And I told my wife, I'm like, I just can't go. I mean, not in good conscience can I go, because I don't think it's right. I didn't take any vacation. The whole time I was there, I never took any vacation
at that church. Yeah.
And so I'd planned this out. I was like, I got to have a vacation. I got to get away for a little bit. And then ended up going to that church and just thought, you know, I can't do this because it's in that 2 week. And looking back, I should have went.
You should have went. Yeah.
I should have went. And then 1 week of my 2 week notice would have been vacation. And then I could have came back and said all my goodbyes and left, but I should have went on that vacation. It's a big, big regret of mine.
You know, honestly, looking back, I think the people would have still loved you just as much as they currently love you.
That was a great way of saying that, David. You said so much in that and made it sound so good,
too. It sounded good, man. It really did. So, you know, Thomas, let's say a bivocational minister is listening to us, and his secular employment doesn't allow much time off, and his church doesn't allow much time off. He may listen to our podcast and he might question us, who both of us are full-time ministries. So he might say, well, what could I do? What can I do? Wednesday's always coming. Sunday's always coming. I would encourage someone with limited vacation time because of bivocational ministry or whatever the situation, maybe your spouse can't get away. Maybe y'all can't take a 7-day vacation. Find some time. Leave on a Thursday afternoon. Drive a couple of hours, spend Thursday night, Friday night, get up, eat a good breakfast on Saturday morning, go to an antique store, be back home Saturday afternoon by 3:30 or 4. Already pre-work your sermon, and then go in there and just spend an hour or two refreshing, remembering, revising, and you can hit that pulpit Sunday morning refreshed.
Yep. Amanda and I did something very similar to that a couple of years ago. We really needed to get away, and so we decided to go to Nashville. We only spent like two nights, I think it was, so about 2.5 days there in a sense. And it was just so refreshing. We had such a good time. It was just me and her, no kids, and it was nice. I was back at church for a Sunday because I was preaching somewhere that Sunday. But yeah, just a quick getaway is better than nothing.
Absolutely. Nashville. Was that the time y'all went to the zoo during the eclipse?
It was not. No.
But tell that story. I love that story. You don't even remember the story. Dude, how do I remember the story better than you? According to you, y'all were in the zoo in Nashville.
We were, but we intentionally went that day for the eclipse.
And what happened when the eclipse happened? Didn't you say the animals started making like...
Oh, yeah. The animals started going crazy. Yeah, yeah. Because they started like waking up, like making nighttime kind of noises that they would normally do. I don't remember the year, but I remember the day.
Uh-huh.
It's August 21st. The eclipse, it was a full solar eclipse on August 21st. And I think it was like 2000. I don't remember the date right now, but it was August 21st because both of my boys is born on August 21st.
Okay, it was their birthday. Were they with you? Was the whole family?
Yeah, the whole family went. And we listened to eclipse songs the whole way there.
Oh, what? Total Eclipse of the Heart?
We listened to that song so many times. We could just about memorize it. I started making up parodies to the song about watching the sun and it burning so your funny. Eyes. And like Total Eclipse of the Heart. And then Eclipse, the song Eclipse by Pink Floyd. And there's another one that mentions Eclipse. We were Googling like all these songs that mention Eclipse. We listened to them as we went there. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Thomas, sometimes we just need a vacation. And vacations, I think, are sent to us from the Lord. We are in the Bible. There's the Sabbath rest. There is the sabbatical rest. And I think it is a good thing for us to be able to enjoy some time away.
I agree.
So we hope that you're able to enjoy a vacation soon and tune in again next time.